Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Andrea Maxim, and I've brought on a repeat offender today, Christine Bjorndal. And, you know, she is my go-to person when it comes to dealing with mental, emotional health issues with patients. So I thought I'd bring her back on because it's been kind of flooding into my office lately a lot. And for a lot of us, you know, opening up those boxes can be really scary and, you know, kind of daunting, especially if you're kind of fresh out in your business, to really get into the deeper layers of your patients or clients. But it is really a fundamental piece of, you know, figuring out what that individual item is, what that individual root cause is for that particular person. Because the superficial stuff, a lot of us can understand and we always want to kind of create solutions for. But to make health kind of stick, I feel, to make a treatment really stick, we also have to identify what the mental blockages are and what the emotional blockages are and what that, you know, emotional baggage is that that person in front of us is carrying around with us. So I really do hope that you enjoy the show. And to kind of bring on why addressing those deeper layers and peeling away the onion and why that's so important for your business, I have created a new online training for you. It is found on my website, maximizebusiness.ca/program webinar. And it's all about creating programs in your office that do help you kind of establish that peeling away the layer approach with your patients and clients. Because yes, we definitely want to give them some quick wins superficially, but the longer we can create that lifetime value of every single client that comes into our office, the more likely we are to get into those deeper layers. And if we can address those, you will have a profound impact on that person and they will just be singing your praises. So check that out, www.maximizedbusiness.ca/program webinar. And, you know, if it takes an hour of your life to get through that training, definitely treat it like a business training, a business call, because it will significantly impact how you perform in your business and how your business runs in the future. But now let's jump to that interview with Chris. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for coming to another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. We originally had you on the show at episode 40. So definitely everybody go back to episode 40 and re-listen to that one because that one was amazing. And Dr. Chris really got into her personal story and her personal journey with how she recovered from mental health issues herself and how she's projecting that and helping with her patients, which we are going to level that up today. But just in case people want to get a little bit more insight on you, why don't you give us an idea of who you are and sort of what brought you back on the show? Because there's a lot of exciting things happening with you.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, first of all. I really appreciate your podcast and everything that you're doing as well. So basically, just the nutshell was I struggled a lot with my mental health, with an eating disorder, anxiety, depression, and then that morphed into, or what came out was bipolar disorder type 1 in university. And it was really through my own journey of regaining my mental health by working with a naturopathic doctor and an orthomolecularly, that's a big mouthful, trained psychiatrist that I reestablished the physical level of my mental health. And then I had a lot of stress in my life. I went back to school, went back to high school to go on to university again, to go back to naturopathic medical school for the one and only intent, which was which was to help people regain their mental health through the way that I had. But where, you know, I want to springboard from is moving into just looking at the physical level, which is what a lot of doctors do. And that can serve you extremely well, extremely well. But if you're like me and you ended up stumbling again with your mental health, then you will have to eventually, I think, look at the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of health.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in school, we're so focused on the DDXing and making sure that all the physical boxes are taken care of. But even, you know, 6-7 years out for myself, I know that it's just like breaching the surface. Like, it's really that mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic side of our patients that we need to become a lot more comfortable in exploring and opening up those boxes. And so I'm thrilled for you to come on and help us like get into that space, because dealing with and exposing those mental, emotional, those raw scars that have been kind of put off to the side and patients may not be ready to confront them, I believe, just I know you do, is really kind of, I think, where the root cause of a lot of things are, at least the root cause why they're not getting better as quickly as we'd like. So walk us through that journey and kind of tell us what those initial steps should be and why it's so important.
Right. So the reason why I think it's important is that we are more than just the physical level, right? So when I talk about the mental, emotional, spiritual aspects, really what I mean is we want to be able to help patients navigate their thoughts, navigate this inner self critic that is there for most of us, but we dare not speak the truth out loud with respect to what this inner critic is saying to us all day long.
Right.
So it's taming that voice and moving into self-compassion. And then it's looking at the emotional reactivity that we have. And this relates to the concept of boundaries. And then underlying all of this is our conscious mind. So obviously things that we're aware of. But then there's the unconscious mind. And this is really what's running the show. Mm-hmm. And so we can another term to refer to this is shadow beliefs or unconscious commitments. So for myself, when I was struggling, even with coming out writing my book, I hadn't come out yet about bipolar disorder, that piece of my mental health. And I shoved that deep, really deep down within me into a place where I dared not to look, because I didn't want anybody to know about this because of fear, which stemmed back to my childhood. So often these unconscious commitments are formed in childhood. So that we want to look at and uncover. And then the last piece, which is really the foundation of it all, so it's the most important piece. We want to look at it like we're wrapping everything up in this and around this and surrounding this with, is love and compassion and learning to trust our intuition.
Yes.
That's a big piece of this.
So let's start there, because that's what resonates with me the most is intuitively I will watch the expressions of my patients. You can see the water welling up behind their eyes. You can see their face change when certain topics come up. On their intake form, they'll say stressors like relationship stress is a big number for them. And then you start to kind of propose like what's going on with you stress-wise. And they're like, oh, well, you know, the normal stuff. But you know there's a bigger story there. So my intuition, of course, is there's a bigger piece, there's a bigger history here that I need to take. How do we start treading into those waters?
Well, the first step from a practice management perspective is to make sure you have enough time. That's, you know, a lot of times we're, you know, we are crunched for that time piece. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about seeing a naturopathic doctor is we allow more time. We allow more time. So I think, you know, when you're working with your patients, you just have to, we really have to know that every single person that's coming to see you is a walking wounded, is wounded in some way, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Whether they're ready to look at that or not, that's a different conversation. But you as a clinician, if you see the tears coming up, a lot of people then get almost afraid to ask a question there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What I do is I simply just say, I can see some emotion welling in you. Do you want to talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, out come the Kleenexes and then out comes this, perhaps the story. But I do caution them and I say, listen, I am not as interested in the story as I am interested in what you've made that story mean.
Oh my goodness. That's powerful.
Right?
Yes.
So we get caught up in the story, mm-hmm. which is often, there's some judgment there. There's mm-hmm. often some projections within the story. And the story isn't always based on absolute facts.
Yes.
And so we want to help our patients navigate between what's fact and what's fiction. So we don't really, sometimes patients want to tell you the story. And there's healing power in that, absolutely. But it's what they've made the story mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's then driving the operating system of their mind mm-hmm. from a conscious and subconscious perspective.
Yeah.
So that's the first step, is really just to not be afraid to ask. When you recognize that, you can just say, I see that that's touched you. And do you want to just let me know usually what I say is, what emotion is rising within you in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, because maybe, who knows, maybe I've misinterpreted it. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's not sadness. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's fear. You got to figure out what that is first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. And then I think the next piece is, a lot of patients are afraid that if they tap into that, that they're going to never stop crying.
Right.
I hear that a lot, right? And I said to them, I said, you know, I have yet to meet somebody who's never stopped crying.
Yeah.
You know, you will stop. so that they're not afraid. Because what happens is, when they suppress and keep all of this stuffed in the vessel that is your body,
mm-hmm.
that as you mentioned, it's energy. Emotion is just, you know, E for energy in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when you continually stuff it, where is it going? What's it doing? Is disrupting the organs within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a cancer specialist by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel that this emotional component is really big in connection with cancer. But with any mental health condition, we do want to look at the story that people are telling them, but more importantly, what have they made that story? What have they made that mm-hmm. mean?
Yeah. And then the next thing that's coming to mind is, I find a lot of us approach it as a problem solving. Okay, so you've told me your story, that's great. So I want to think of all the ways that I can make that go away as quickly as possible so that I'll get the best results ever and you'll love me forever. But that's not the case, right? Like, especially coming from perhaps a newer practitioner that isn't as comfortable with allowing the therapeutic space, allowing the story to kind of come out. They might be saying, well, because of your history of stress, I think we should throw some adaptogens in there and maybe some vitamin C. So even with the treatment plan, how do you execute that with people? Because it isn't as easy as just throwing shit at the patient and just making it go away.
That's right. Well, first of all, for me, I do have training in 5 types of therapy. So tapping into the psychological aspect is really important. And so if they're not already working with a psychologist, and if you're a newer clinician and this is an area of interest for you, then I really encourage you to get some more training in this area, whether it's, you know, taking cognitive behavioral therapy training for clinicians, or we'll talk about this a little bit further on. I've developed a clinician's training course as well. So that you first feel comfortable, because here's the thing, you can only take people as far as you've gone yourself.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. And I hope we touch on that in a little bit.
Yeah. So you have to, I think, really work with your own levels of comfort and navigating your own journey in some regard, and being willing to look at these pieces yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't look at them yourself, it's really hard for you to teach other people to look at them.
Right. So let's I'm sorry, you're going to keep going.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, but with patients, what I do, one thing is, I do encourage them to create some space to reflect and to journal. Mm-hmm. This is a really, you know, I'm 51 years old, so I grew up journaling. This was a big part of my stress management from a very young age. It started in grade 2.
Yeah.
So nowadays it's all text and phone, and it's not the same. It's just really not the same. So if you can get your patients to just start reflecting, just on their day even, is a way to allow them to process the day and the emotions and the stress. It's a safe outlet for them. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really, even that is a suggestion for you as a clinician to mention that to your patients and to find out what the resistance is around that. You'll hear people say, oh, I'm never going to journal again because so-and-so read my journal. So it's not so much that you're journaling for it to be legible. You're journaling, I call it stream of consciousness writing. It's not necessarily legible.
Yeah.
It's just a dumping ground, so it doesn't stay swirling around in here.
Yeah.
So.
And with that, would you then promote like the journal and burn aspect, so there is no fear of somebody reading it? Because there's also that emotional tie of holding on to the negativity if there is negative writing, and how that can be a burden. Even though it's externally written down, you're holding on to those words in some capacity.
That's right. So that's one aspect is, yes, you can, if depends if it's, say you're dealing with a relationship or a forgiveness piece, if there's been any abuse or some sort of trauma, then the writing it and burning it is a wonderful, beautiful ceremony. And I do that in the clinic with patients. But you can also just journal in the sense where, like I mentioned, that it's not actually legible. Mm-hmm. So you're not really going to be going and never go. I do not encourage going backward, right? We don't want to drive by the rearview mirror here. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we carry the past into our present, and then we often project that into the future.
Yeah.
And so we do want to have an understanding of the pains from the past in order to heal the present moment. But that is the goal. It's not to dig up these wounds and leave them gaping. It's so that we can close them and mend them together.
Yeah, I love that. Now, the first objection, and this is because I just experienced it yesterday, that I know patients will come up with is, well, I don't have time to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have the ability to be alone for 5 seconds where I can start mentally processing my day. And then nothing gets done on the patient side because they're already putting up boundaries and objections and walls to even be able to start that therapy. So how do you approach that with your patients?
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're parents with children and they're taking their children to their events, there's usually a 15-minute time frame where the child's in the locker room or in the changing room and you're waiting for whatever it is to start. I see a lot of people, again, using their phones at this time, unconsciously scrolling through social media, checking. That's a great opportunity to pull out your journal and just dump for 10 minutes.
I love that.
So there are opportunities. It's just a matter of shifting the behavior. Mm-hmm. Right? And it doesn't have to be half an hour. It's really literally can be just 5 minutes or even... Have you ever read The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron?
I have not. No?
She talks about morning pages and... It's just 3 pages. So when you start, it really doesn't take long to fill up 3 pages. So I think sometimes we make it bigger than it is, you know, in our minds. And so I think that's one place where I start is most of my patients are women and with children, and they are often, there's often time. Or if you pull up early, for example, to pick up your kids from school, you've got an extra 5 minutes, or they're delayed getting out of the school, which is often what happens for me with my son. So that's another time where you could, I carry my journal with me all the time. So.
And then, you know, let's go back to practitioner heal thyself and why, it's so important for us to also do the work. And before you answer that question, I also wanted to ask you, do you ever bring in your own story to help relate that to the patient so that they can, so you can almost share in the wound together. And not being totally specific and totally raw and open, but do you find sometimes saying, you know, just like what you shared today, I do this work, I'm going through this, I've been there, and share that with your patients as almost like a therapeutic thing for you as well? So I know those are a lot of questions, but...
I hope I can remember them all.
First and foremost is just physician, heal thyself.
Heal thyself, yeah. Yes. So physician, heal thyself is one of the tenets of our medicine, mm-hmm. right? And I think it is the most important tenet, actually. Because as I said, you can only take people as far as you've gone yourself. Mm-hmm. And so because I've had so many mental health challenges to heal, I've done a lot of work in the mental, emotional, spiritual aspects. So Gordon Smith, Dr. Gordon Smith, is an elder naturopathic doctor. And one of the guiding, I asked him for advice at one point, because I, as many naturopathic doctors, I really struggled in the beginning with this. And I was quitting every step of the way. And so I asked him for some advice. And he said, Chris, as soon as you get yourself out of the way, you know, that's basically the message. He said, you need to get yourself out of the way. Mm-hmm. So when you're working with patients, and if you recognize that you're triggered by something that they say, or if you're having some emotional reactions, if you're feeling defensive, if you're feeling put off, if you're feeling frustrated, you're in the way. Mm-hmm. You're in the way. So that is the work that I've set out to do, is to get myself out of the way. But in doing so, I've had to heal myself along the way, right, in order to get out of the way. So I absolutely share my story. I just, like I mentioned, I just came out about the bipolar disorder piece. I'm sure some people knew already, mm-hmm. because I have had manias while I've been a naturopathic doctor. Not in a professional setting, but mm-hmm. it happened once at a conference, which was very unfortunate. But so I've been very public about the depression, the suicide attempts, the eating disorder, mm-hmm. and the anxiety, which is what I think draws people to me, because yeah. I have that lived experience.
Yeah.
But I don't, in the patient interaction, I do not, it's about them.
Of course.
Right. Right. So I may say something like, I get that. Like, you know, if they may express that they're feeling like their life is worthless and there's no meaning. And I may say, you know, I really get that. I really understand what you're saying. But that's about as far as it goes. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's not about me, it's really about them. And so you're wanting to, you know, if I think as clinicians, if you have experienced depression or anxiety, I think don't be afraid to be vulnerable. You know, your vulnerability is a gift and it's a strength, and it's something that you want to honor. It's not something to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot. I do mentor they've just graduated now from CCNM, but I know that there's still that fear within them to mm-hmm. be vulnerable.
Of course. Right?
So.
And you've really made this your mission, especially this year, to share your message and to share your teachings with a global audience. So not just the students that can come into your physical presence and learn from you, but you've now created avenues for us to learn from you from our homes, no matter where we are. So I'd love for you to touch on some of the creative processes that you've created and you're releasing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, first off, it started with The Essential Diet, which is a book, The Essential Diet, Eating for Mental Health, which is just a clinical tool that you can use with your patients. And that starts with just the diet piece. Mm-hmm. And that is where I started when I started my journey as well. It was really the diet piece. But then, as I mentioned, you know, I did stumble again. At some point, diet wasn't enough. And that's where I realized I needed to then look at the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects. So in that regard, I wrote a second book called Beyond the Label, 10 Steps to Improve Your Mental Health with Naturopathic Medicine. And through that, now I've created a clinician's course, which dives much deeper into these concepts that I mentioned. So looking at, and this is, it's for, you know, it's for you to give you clinical tools so that you feel comfortable having these conversations with your patients. But it also is really helping you also heal, because through the course, I ask you to do the work.
Right.
Right. I ask you to look at your distorted automatic thoughts. I ask you to look at your core beliefs. I ask, we uncover your unconscious commitments. So we talk about, I teach you how to manage boundaries. I teach you how to work with your intuition so that you can then teach this on, pass this on to your patients. So I'm excited about it. It's just coming out. And we can include the information below, I guess, in the show.
Yeah. Show links,
however that works. But yeah, I just feel this is an important piece that was missing for me when I was studying. And I have gone out and done a lot of training over the last 30 years. And so I basically, this is a distillation of everything that I've studied and learned. And I've put it together in this webinar format for you. And if there's an option to work with me, if you need that coaching, I'm there for you as well. So I just really feel that I can only help so many people in a day,
right,
in my office. And so if I focus on training you and other naturopathic colleagues, then you can spread and help more people as well. And so that's really my goal and intent.
So. And I would love to kind of close this conversation up with why this is so important, why this is so needed in our practice, because there's still probably some people that are listening that are like, I'm never going down that road. You know, discussing mental emotional stuff is just not what I want to do or feel comfortable with. And even I was there. There was a period where I just, and I think it was because of my mental state, I was very repulsing or rejecting going down any of that mental emotional road. But once I started allowing that to enter my practice and allowed that space to happen, you know, the connections that I'm making with my patients are so much better. So our therapeutic relationship lasts longer. They're coming to see me more. They're thinking about me more. So again, why is this so important for all practitioners to be instilling into their practice?
Well, mental health conditions affect 1 in 4 people. And by the year 2030, one person every second, globally speaking, is going to commit suicide. So to me, that's a staggering statistic that I would love to change. And I think we have to really understand, and this is where we stand out as doctors in the medical world, is that we really do, I mean, other than psychologists, we really have this capability to tap into the mind, body, spirit. And your patients need this. They really, really need this. At some point, whether it's dealing with the death of their mother or father, dealing with, God forbid, the death of their child, at some point, they're going to be impacted by the weight of the world, the weight of life. And it is life. But you want them to have the skills and the tools to navigate these ways. And those aren't, you know, death isn't, you know, a mental health condition. Grief isn't a mental health condition. But we don't honor that. You know, we don't have, many patients don't, you know, how to deal because they've never been taught.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why it's very important to me, is because of the rate of mental health conditions is on the rise. I'm just in the middle of listening to Tim Ferriss interviewing Michael Pollan about the use of psychedelics and psilocybin and these, you know, LSD and these different drugs in mental health. And I didn't write this down, but Michael Pollan said that basically, if you look at mental health since the 1950s, it is the only condition that has actually increased the rates. So they've developed better strategies to deal with cancer. They've developed better strategies to deal with heart disease. They've developed better strategies to deal with type 2 diabetes. But nobody has developed better strategies to deal with mental health.
Right.
It's an increasing, it's on the rise. It's not, everything else is on the decline.
Yeah.
So that is really, that's why it's really important, I think, to me. And because everyone, you are more than your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
And this certainly, like this conversation we're having doesn't mean that anybody has to specialize in mental health. What we're talking about here is with every single patient, whether they're coming in for digestive issues or skin issues or something like that, it's just, I think what you're saying and what I'm agreeing with is it's our job to also investigate those other layers of our patients and allow for that space to open. And even the tools that you've given us today, like just saying, is that something you want to touch on? What is the story behind mm-hmm. that experience that you've now created? Those mm-hmm. aren't like big counseling, like long sessions where all you're doing is having them like sit on the table or in your treatment chair for hours and hours. But it does, I think, again, as I've said, it allows you to witness the wound that's there. This could be the first time that that patient has been allowed to talk about that freely without feeling judged or, you know, being like the person is distracted when they're trying to tell them their story. So I certainly don't want any of our listeners to think, oh, well, I don't want to specialize in mental health. That's not the conversation that we're having.
So no, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't need to. But I think another piece just for people to understand is whenever your patients are, say they want something, but they're unable to attain that. So let's use, for example, weight loss, for example. So we want to, you know, an avenue in to the into the patient is to understand and be able to look at the choices that they make. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we say to ourselves, yeah, you know, I want to lose 20 pounds or I want to start exercising or I want to quit my job. I'm not happy in my job. But then we don't take any steps to do so. So that right there is your red flag that there's an unconscious commitment at play. Mm-hmm. There's something stopping them. So the right side is saying, you know, yeah, I want this. But the other side is something stopping them. Mm-hmm. And that's because there's these unconscious commitments. So in order for you to be successful with your patients, you want to be able to understand the behavior and what's driving their behavior. And this doesn't necessarily have to be like you're saying that you're going to be working with, you know, people who are suicidal or schizophrenic. But you're just dealing with the average person who's mm-hmm. coming in to see you who wants to lose that spare tire.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you, there's an unconscious commitment at play as to why they're not able to lose that spare tire. It's more than their hormones and it's more than the food they're putting in their mouth.
Yeah. So again, for us to look into your course and start going through that, what's the best way to access that?
Through my website. So Dr. Christina with a CH and then my last name, bjorndahl.com. I should have come up with a better
That's okay.
URL because it's so difficult to spell. But anyway, just on the website and then work with me and then check and then the course will be there. That's probably the best place to connect.
And there's also credits that we can receive if going through the course.
Yeah. This is approved by Kano.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's CE credits that are available. I think it's 12 and a half. Yeah.
Category A?
Probably.
Awesome.
Let's
hope.
Yes, I think it is category A.
So there's no reason why we shouldn't be doing your course then for that very simple reason. So I so want to thank you for your vulnerability in this space and really spreading your message and allowing us to feel more comfortable in approaching this within ourselves and with our patients, but also helping again with that global issue and trying to make those numbers come down and spreading your message so that we can start to carry that in our own practices. So thank you so much for all the hard work you're doing. And of course, if anybody wants to reach out to you, is there a way to do that other than the website that would be more helpful or just direct right back to the website?
Probably the website, or they can contact the clinic. I'm on social media. Those are probably the best ways. I mean, I can give you my cell phone number.
Ooh.
I don't think I want to do that.
Maybe not on the podcast.
No, right?
Well, yeah. Thank you again so much for coming back on the show. And I wish you the best of luck with your mission. And I'm just so thrilled that I can also help to spread your message.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another wonderful episode on the books. And I cannot thank you all enough for continuing to listen to these shows and letting me know how much the podcast is helping you out in your business. And of course, if you feel that there's just something missing, you want to take action, but you don't know how, you don't know what steps to take, and things are just far too complicated for you, please reach out to me. You can either send me a personal email, info@themaxxmmovement.com. Please go to Instagram and start following me there, because that's where I'm showing all the behind the scenes stuff on what I'm doing, @AndreaMaxxmND. And also check out my new Facebook page, Maximize Business, because I'm kind of linking the two accounts there, Instagram and Facebook, together. So if you want to get the inside scoop on everything, definitely make sure you are following me on one, if not both, and give me a quick hello. I just want to know what's going on in your business and how I can be of service to you. I'm, of course, Andrea Maxim, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.